Well, good day, everyone, and welcome to our third session on Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say. And I trust that all of you who are looking can say, I am the redeemed of the Lord. Today, we'll actually talk about it. There's some of you who are watching for the first time, maybe, and you're not sure what we're talking about. We're going to talk about contacting us so we can remedy that situation really quick. So today we're really going to be getting into Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say, I am blessed and not cursed. And we're going to take off on that and come up with a couple of confessions that I hope you can use during the coming week to prepare you, and I'll be doing the same for the next session, thus us. So let's pray and we'll get going. Father, we thank you for your word again today. Holy Spirit, we say, have your way. And Father, I ask you for the Holy Spirit to flow through me so that I can speak these things when we're talking about these verses, when we're sharing things that you have pointed out to me, that I can say it with great clarity and in an anointing that brings faith to those who are looking with us and studying with us today. And so, Jesus, thank you for all you've done, and we thank you for the work of redemption that we're talking about today. And it's in your name we've asked this and that we receive revelation. Amen and amen. Last week we talked about the blessing at work, just to get an idea of the magnitude of the blessing. We looked specifically at before the cross. We're still going to be a little bit in the old covenant today, but we're going to be building toward the new as we get to the end. And so I want to change things up today. Instead of doing just a flat review, I want to do a review, but we're going to add some new things in to what we talked about last week as we go through this. And I'm going to ask you at different points in here to say with me. We're going to do that a little bit more today than we normally do. So we've been grounded in Psalm 107, verse 2, reading from the New American Standard principally today. And it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. So we've been taken out of the hand or the grasp of the adversary. And that's going to be really important in the last time we have together today. But the first part says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And we've talked about that Hebrew word say means to publish, to declare, to command, to challenge, even to demand. And today the focus is going to really be on to declare, as we say, who we are and what we have. And we go then to Galatians 3:7, which says, therefore be sure that it is those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And verse 26 in that same chapter of Galatians 3 tells us also that we are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And again, the angels did not understand that. We have something. We're created as a higher being with the Spirit of God placed in us than the angels are. So when people pass on, they don't go to be an angel. And I know most of you know that, but that's just something that seemed to flow out at that time. And then verse 29 says, and if we belong to Christ, then we are Abraham's offspring, again affirming the sonship. And it adds, heirs according to the promise. So what Abraham got to benefit from, you and I, as his heirs, get that same set of promises, as well as what we have in our new and better covenant. So there's more. And so we should be saying, and let's just start today, I am an heir of Abraham. I am an heir of Abraham. Verse 8 goes on and tells us that God preached the gospel, the good news to Abraham, and he said, all the nations shall be blessed in you. Now notice what was preached to Abraham, the gospel, the good news. And what did it do? It brought salvation to us. But we're beginning to see then, because he said, all the nations shall be blessed, that the blessing of Abraham is part of that. So our salvation includes blessing. Verse 9 goes on to say, so then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. And so we've said already, I'm an heir of Abraham, but now we can say, I am blessed with faithful Abraham. I am blessed with faithful Abraham. Now that doesn't mean that I get less than he had, it means I'm fully blessed with all that he was promised to. And what does blessed mean? It means to be empowered to prosper. And I want you not to think of prospering now just in finances, but in every way. And that's a real revelation that I've picked up on. And we'll be talking about other scriptures that point that out as well in the coming weeks. And then we get to verse 13. Christ redeemed us. And we talked about how most people say, yeah, I know I've been redeemed. The cross did that. But this is something specific that he redeemed us from. And what is it? The curse of the law. As he became a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Now, because of that, then we are not going to say that I'm not valuable to God because he paid a great price for that. But we can say, I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. So we're just adding to our profession here. I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And then verse 14 picks up and adds to that. It says, we've been redeemed in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. And then it has this phrase, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So from these two things, these last two verses, 13 and 14, we can say what the title says. So say it with me. I am blessed and not cursed. I am blessed and not cursed. So, so important. So we found four things already to rejoice about that we can say in this brief time together today. Now, last time we were together, we looked at the blessing at work. And we started with Abraham, then we looked at Isaac, we talked about Joseph briefly, and we ended up with the children of Israel. Let me just pick a couple of verses to just refresh your memory and get us into thinking about the expectation we can have from that blessing that we are an heir of, as that blessing that is ours as an heir of Abraham. He told Abram in Genesis 12:2, I'm going to make you a great nation. And then he said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to empower you to prosper. And what do we know? In every way. He said, I'm going to make your name great. And then he added, I'm going to make you a blessing. Now, when we consider Galatians 3 that we read, verses 7, 26, and 29, then we can see why we can say all these things, because these are words, these are promises of what the Lord was doing in the blessing that he blessed Abram with. We looked at Genesis 17, verses 19 through 21. In verse 21, he says, I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you next year. So this is another blessing that was spoken over he and Sarah, and it caused Sarah's womb to come alive. So their bodies was impacted. So we can begin to see that healing is a part of this, but what was the result? The redemptive line manifesting through Isaac. And then we looked at the children of Israel. Now, I didn't go through these, but I just want to remind you of four things he spoke to Israel. I believe it's in Exodus chapter 6. There were four I wills as part of this blessing that he told them. I'm going to bring you out from under the burden. So, he took him out from under the hand of his enemy, of their enemy, something we just talked about. He says, in doing so, I'm going to deliver you from slavery, so I'm going to make you free. I will redeem you. I'm going to pay a price for you because you're worth it to me. And as I've set you free, we also know that's what that word means, to redeem. And then finally, he said, I'm going to take you as my own. So what is he doing? He's speaking these blessings over them, and he delivered on every one of them. One in particular I want you to remember, and it's in Leviticus 25, verse 21, talking about the year of rest for the land in the seventh year. And there were seven of these sevens leading up to the year of Jubilee, where it added one more to it. But remember he said, and I want to focus on two words here, then I will sow order. The translation that I'm reading says, another translation says, I will command. So I want you to see that as he speaks these blessings here to the children of Israel, that we also have these. Now listen to what he said. I'm going to order, or I'm going to command my blessing for you in the sixth year that will bring forth the crop for 3 years. So what do we see? God's words are filled with power. God's words for the blessing give the blessing power. And his blessing for you and me has already been spoken, or I would say commanded. And those words are just as active today as they were then. Think about creation. In Genesis 2, when God said, "Let there be light," and we know that light was, and literally what he said was, "Light be." And I've told you that Young's Literal actually says, when it goes on to say, "Light is," it still is today. Now, don't just look through that. What we can see in those words is power. God doesn't wake up every morning. We know he doesn't wake up because he never sleeps, it says. But what? He doesn't have to wonder, is light going to be today? His word spoke it, and he's certain of it, and we ought to be the same way. He doesn't have to check up on the sun coming up either every day, because his words put it in place, and it'll be only his words that can change that. So in our time today, I want us to begin to see when and how, and even talk a little bit about why the blessing and the curse was given. I think we need to understand that. And then we can start pursuing how it can be released and received in our lives today. So this week is going to really lead into a lot of the same, just getting further into it in the next week. So I want to tell you going into it, there's some really good gospel. Let me translate that. There's some really good news that we're about to hear today. And so I want to remind you then of how we closed last week, because again, I want expectation coming to you for revelation today, particularly as we move for a little bit from the blessing to talking about the curse. In Galatians 3:14, remember it said that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So that's part of the blessing in us, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Again, the epitome to me of His grace. And we saw in 1 Corinthians 2, I think we looked at 11 and 12, but I'm only going to do 12 this week. It says, we've received the Spirit who is from God that we might know, that we might have a knowledge of and experience the things freely given to us by God. So the Spirit has been given to us, and one of the things He's going to do is to what? To convey to us those things that have been freely given to us by God. In other words, the blessing. And then equally important is that He's going to give us insight today into what we're not in bondage to, and that is the curse. So again, have this expectation for gaining revelation knowledge, not just to hear, but to act on. And you're going to see this over and over today, to act on what we hear Him say so that we can partake of the goodness He has for us and that great grace that He desires for us to receive. He didn't want to just give it. He wants us to live our life in it. Now, you know, as I'm sure because we've studied it some in here, that in Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses, or the blessing and the curse of the law. And it's interesting, isn't it? It's not called the curses of the law. It's called the curse of the law. And it's done because it's singular in that if you didn't do it as a unit, all 500 or 613 of them, then you failed in them all. In other words, you didn't qualify. And so we're going to see today what we've been set free from. So go with me to Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28, because there's some things happening leading up to this chapter 28 that we're going to end up in today that you need to understand. The first thing that happened was He gave them the Ten Commandments. The Lord came down from heaven, and He, with His finger, engraved in stone, in the stones, the Ten Commandments, His law. Why did He do that? because he wanted the people to know who he was and have them live a life or begin to live a life that was holy solely for the purpose of what? Of being able to fellowship with them. So with that background, let's look at verse 26 of Deuteronomy 11. He says, "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse." Now, he didn't say a blessing or a curse. He said and. And you're going to see how it's not either or from his perspective, and you'll understand that. Yes, he wants us to have the blessing, and no, he doesn't want us to have the curse. But both of those are still in effect today. And I'm getting ahead of myself. That's okay. He says in verse 27, the blessing, if you listen. Now, I believe it's the New King James that says, in the King James, it says obey. And the word that's used for listen there is the word S-H-A-M-A, Shema, which means to hear intelligently or to hear with intelligence. Now, it actually means to listen with the intent to obey. To listen with the intent to obey. Do you remember in Isaiah 1:19 when the Lord said, if you're willing and obedient, then you'll eat from the good of the land or the fat of the land or the best of the land. That's that same word there, to hear intelligently. But what happens? Many, and this is important, I think the reason that I'm stressing this is it's important for us to see that if we hear something or read something in the Bible and it's contrary to our established beliefs, or it doesn't fit in with the emotions that we've developed as things have happened to us in life, then we can reject what it said, and then we don't even have a chance to be obedient. So it's hearing with obedience. Now, what he's saying here, let me start again. You'll receive the blessing if you listen or obey to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I'm commanding you this day. And we'll see that in just a moment. And then he says in verse 28, and the curse. So he's talking about this is the curse that you will receive. What? If you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God. So if you do not listen or do not obey, either one of those, but turn aside from the way which I'm commanding you by following other gods which you have not known. Now, isn't it interesting? He didn't say by going and sinning. He said by following other gods, by following other drawings, by following what this earth, the earthly way of doing things, tries to draw us to, and we end up making it a god. Now, many people believe God's just in control, and some would even say that since he's in control, I just may be doomed to be part of the curse or part of the blessing. And I'm going to tell you, no. If God was controlling everything, then these two verses we just read would not have the word if in them. He would say, you're cursed, or he would say, you're blessed. But he wouldn't say what he did about the blessing if you obey, the curse if you don't obey. Now, the other thing that I want to stress here is he's dealing with them in the flesh, not the spirit. He's trying to disclose to them how to live a life that's pleasing to him. But let's ask the question then again. What determines for the children of Israel whether they receive the blessing or whether the curse comes to them? They must hear and be obedient, and they're not what? They're not in a position to accomplish all these. So what he's telling them is, I'm putting something before you that you've got to be perfect in. And as a man, I can tell you, I am so grateful that that doesn't apply to us today. Now, we're going to ask that question in a minute. How does this apply to us today? And I think it's essential that we see it. And it may be a little bit different from the way you've thought about it before. So keeping on here, in verse 29 of this same chapter, the Lord tells them about what's to happen. Now, the Ten Commandments has been given. Some of the law has been talked about. And then it says, now if you shall, it shall be, when the Lord your God has brought you to the land to go to possess, that he's going to put the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. So he's telling them, when we go there, we're going to establish the blessing and the curse from these mountains. And they did that in Deuteronomy 27, verses 12 through 23. And what happened was, I don't want to read all that, the Levites would declare the word of the Lord, the blessing or the curse, and the children of Israel would say, so be it, or amen. So what are they doing? What's happening with this? Well, they are taking the Lord's words, words of power, words which create, which establish, and they're being declared on earth by God's representatives, the priests, the people who go in between, and the whole nation is saying to it, amen, or so be it. Now, I got to tell you, I wouldn't, and I'm sure there's a reason that God split them up that way. I haven't studied that yet. But I sure wouldn't have been wanting to be on the mountain just professing the curse in this environment. But I am glad to tell you that I can profess to you today that we've been set free from the curse of the law. And then I think it's going to free us up to just receive things as we never have before. So the question then comes about, are these blessings, are these curses, the curse, in force today? Or we might say, are they in play today? And the answer is yes. So then that may drive this question about curses. Why would he leave something bad like this in the earth today? And I would tell you, the devil is still the god of this earth. He's still bringing his nature, which we've described as killing, stealing, or destroying, which are manifest through the curse. And so I think really this is the wrong question for us to ask. Maybe we should be pursuing the issue of how do I walk in the blessing and not have these curses touch me? Now, a lot of people would again criticize God for putting these laws into effect, but the law of God is perfect, the New Testament tells us. It's not bad. So why did he give it? Again, so that they would know him and really so that he could be in a position to give to them and fellowship with them what he wanted, because that's where he was really leading to, trying to get them to live a life. And I might add now, with sacrifices when they missed it, which is a type of Jesus and what he did. But let's talk about law just for a moment in this goodness or badness question. The law of gravity. Is the law of gravity good? I can tell you if it wasn't, as we spin around, everything would be flying off this earth, including you and me, out into Neverland. So, is that a good thing? Yes. But now, how about if somebody climbs up to the top of a very tall building and jumps? Then they're not going to have a good landing. And so, does that make the law bad? Or is it a choice they make? So what this is telling me is we need to understand his kingdom ways and learn how we want to live life in them. So with that, let's go to Deuteronomy 28, and I want to read to you verses 1 and 2. Now, it says, now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments while I command you this day, the Lord will set you on high above all the nations of the earth, and these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you will obey what? The Lord your God, his words, his instructions. Now, what does this say to you and I then? Because we're no longer subject to performance from the law. At least that's what we've studied and that's what we found, isn't it? But a lot of people still are trying to keep these. And here's where we get into problems. What does this say about us? Well, it says several things and that we need to remember. First thing is that God doesn't change. Same today, yesterday, and he will be forever. The second thing that hadn't changed is good and evil. Now, I know we're in a time where people are calling evil good and good evil, but evil and good, according to God, is the same as it was when he spoke these words to his children. And the third thing that I'm going to tell you that hasn't changed then is the blessing and the curse. People who don't know the Lord are still subject to the impact of that curse today. But what has changed is the covenant we have with Him, or I might say it this way, how He qualifies us for these blessings, how He frees us up from these curses, that has changed, all so that we can be able to do what? Have the relationship that He wants with us. Now, in verse 1, talking about the obey His words, which is the law that He's talking about, and it talks about their performance to it, but what does that really mean to us? That doesn't give us a license to sin, to break the Ten Commandments. Or we might say, that doesn't give us the right to be disobedient. Now, you say, well, I'm not so sure about this. Well, I can tell you the New Covenant talks about being obedient. What did Jesus say? And remember, Jesus came to proclaim the gospel. He fulfilled the old, but from the time of John the Baptist, Scripture tells us in Luke 16, the gospel was preached. So what did Jesus say? I only do what I hear the Father say. So there's hearing and being obedient to perform it. Now, think back to our first week together, Galatians 3:11. We saw this phrase, the just or the righteous shall live by faith. Now, there were some other things that were spoken talking about the law, but talking about you and I today. So what does that really mean? It means that we do this by believing. And again, there's no Ten Commandments, none of the Ten Commandments that we are, and I'm taking that as a subset because that's what God put in stone for them so they could not only hear it, but they could actually have beheld it. So we do it by believing, and that's very different than trying to perform those to earn it. Now, here's why I'm saying that. So we're away from works, as we saw in Galatians 3. Remember, we've all received the Spirit of the living God. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, the lust of the flesh will cause you and I to be what? To be rebellious and disobedient. But we are to do what? To walk by faith. Now, if we're walking by faith, how does faith work? By love. So we're walking by faith in love, and we've already seen we're to be led by the Spirit. Now, let me give you some other scriptures that kind of puts these together for you. Romans 13:10. Says love does no harm to a neighbor. So it goes on and says, therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So if we walk in love, we are fulfilling the law. Galatians 5:18 says, if you are led by the Spirit, which we know we're to be, we just saw that, then what does it say? You are not under the law. It's a heart issue there of listening and hearing and doing what He said versus having to perform. And then chapter 5 of Galatians, the 25th verse says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, or my translation would say, doing life His way. So we've been redeemed. We're to walk in the light of that redemption. And this is how we are qualified for the blessing, still being obedient. Now, let's go on and look at the next part. Well, let me back up. I want to go cover a phrase in verse 2. It says, come upon you. So if you're obeying, and now that we know what that means, walking in faith, believing, doing it in love, and do what? Living from our union with the Spirit. So if we're obeying, all we receive from God must be received by faith through our Spirit. And so you begin to get a picture, just like receiving something with healing or receiving some finances when we are in financial needs, how this flows to us. Everything comes to us through our spirit. So just say this with me. And I know sometimes I read these, but for time's sake, trust me today. Say with me, I walk by faith and in the spirit. Therefore, the blessing comes to me. I walk by faith in the spirit. Therefore, the blessing comes upon me. Now, we need to take a look at verse 15, because that blessing and curse, he said, I'm speaking to you this day. So 15 tells us, but, so we know that there's an if coming here. It shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to do all, to observe to do all his commandments and all his statutes which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. So it's just the opposite of what we saw earlier, isn't it? Yet, we've been confessing today, we who believe have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, this is a key point, because when we take these two and put them together, what we see here is that the Lord is telling us, or he's implying, that we don't have to have the curse of the law come upon us. Or let me say that differently, and I think this is a better way to say it. Father does not want me to have any of the curses in my life. How is this possible now? We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We've confessed both of these, but let me consolidate it as we go on here. There are two items of great news that we've seen today. Both are gospel. The first is, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, which we confessed. And now we can begin to say, Father doesn't want me to have any of the curses. These are two important factors that as you study with me here in the coming weeks, the blessings and the curses that you need to keep in the forefront. So these are some words that we need to be saying. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. And Father does not want me to have any of these curses. Now, this is a time for a little introspection in a good way. No condemnation as we do this. And I am talking not to you. I am talking and I'm speaking to myself, and you just get to listen to this part today. If I'm honest, why do I see so many of the curses of the law, stealing, killing, and destroying, the very nature of the devil himself, manifesting or trying to manifest in my life today and in the life of many, many Christians? Now, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that's the truth. But remember, we have good news today. Well, the first reason I would give for it is that many people, even believers, are ignorant of what we're being taught today, that we've been set free from this. You know, we go back and we hear people, well, I don't teach that kind of gospel. I don't teach that at my church. We just teach the gospel. Well, you're teaching a different kind of gospel. And we're saying this is good news. The Lord said this was preached to Abram. And some of us, however, those who are born again, can be hard-headed, and we can reject it and say, well, that's not been my experience. And really what we're doing is being rebellious, and we won't believe what God says in Galatians 3:13, that we've been set free and should not have those curses coming upon us. You know, rebellion against authority, and I'll include in that God and His Word, and you really can't separate those. If you rebellious to His Word, you're rebelling against Him. But rebellion is rampant in our society today. No one wants to submit, and we'll pick up that word in the coming week. But nobody wants to submit, but this is exactly what leads to disobedience. And now we're seeing a picture of who receives the blessing and who receives the cursing. Willful, repeated sin, rebellion, that's all you can call it, aligning yourself more with the devil. And when that happens, he's going to attempt to put the curse on you. He's going to, it's as if he's taking us being rebellious from God as we're submitting to Him, and He thinks He has an inroad to put it on us. Now, He doesn't have to have that inroad. A thief will break into, so He doesn't need an open door to go in. And so He may try to talk you into this. In fact, can I just tell you, He'll condemn you by talking about something that you missed it on. Then He'll attach it, and then He'll come back and condemn you that you've had something attached to you. That's His nature. But can I give you the good news? And these are my closing statements for today. He cannot do it if we submit to God, not submit to Him, and resist Him. Why can't He do it? Two reasons. You ought to smile with me as I say this. I am free from the curse of the law. Now again, I'm speaking to born-again people, and if some of you are saying, well, this is all new to me. I'm not sure about this salvation thing. I'm not sure about this redemption. Take the time to private message us here on our Facebook page, and we'll get back to you. Or you can send an email to info@mintonwilliams.com, and we'll get that, and we will get back to you. And we can remedy it quickly and with certainty. So the first one is, I am free from the curse of the law. Well, first of two reasons. And what's the second one? You already know it. Father does not want me to have any of the curses. Now, why is this so important? You know, there are so many people who believe that God is doing something, which I just can't conceive of that. As a good father, I wouldn't do or put a curse on my children. And how much better father is He than I could ever think of being? The second thing is that if we say He allows something, but I think you're going to see we're the ones who are allowing. And then if we think it's His will for something, then what we're doing is not resisting it. Why resist it if we think it's something He wants for us? And I've heard people say, well, I guess this curse has been put on me so I can walk through it and get a blessing. No, no, no. God does not partner with the devil. And this is what we're going to see as we pick up next week right here. And it's really establishing us to live life in the blessing. Now, I want to go back and I want to conclude by you and I quoting these two items again. Great gospel news. Good news. So say with me, I am redeemed from the curse of the law. And Father does not want me to have any of the curses. He's graced us with instruction and with words of power to submit to Him and resist the devil and watch these things. Watch these connections that have been made to the curse fall off of us. That's the good news that we'll get into more detail on next week. Love you guys. Thank you for choosing to spend time with us. And again, please profess these two things. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, and Father does not want me to have any of the curses. You declare those, and you'll have your heart wide open for what we're going to be talking about next week. Love you guys. Thank you for taking time with us today.